It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
Business taxes. Was stressing about all the time and all the money you spent on your taxes.
This is my bill?
Now Business Taxes is a TurboTax small business expert who does your taxes for you and offers year-round advice at no additional cost so you can keep more money in your business. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com/business. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service.
Well, the sports streaming landscape continues to change, and the latest big development last week was the shuttering of Venue, the joint venture of ESPN, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Fox that was supposed to launch last fall. It's not going to launch at all. A major about face. So welcome back to the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, along with Armand Brody. And let's just dive right into that topic. What is going on the streaming front? Well, we talked last week about the Fubo situation and the fact that Fubo was going to drop its legal challenge against Venue as part of a merger agreement with Disney. But one of the things that I noted, and I wasn't the only one to note it, was the fact that Fubo got an injunction to block Venue because the judge overseeing the case believed that Fubo was likely to succeed at trial. Well, any of the streaming MVPDs or any of the carriers generally, streaming or no, could have brought a similar legal challenge on the same grounds. And certainly it looked like DirecTV and Dish were preparing the ground to do so. So that, notably, news broke, I think maybe it was Thursday night, that DirecTV and Dish were looking to potentially mount their own legal challenge. Friday morning, Venue called off altogether. I suspect that in the face of more legal troubles, the backers just decided it was no longer worth their trouble and moved on to other things. Because guess what? You come back a week later, we have a new skinny bundle. It's not that skinny, but DirecTV with their My Sports, Fubo is going to have the right to make a skinny bundle consisting of the Disney channels at Air Sports. It seems to me like Venue by another name is how this stuff is going to work out. So Armand, I bring you in on that note. What do you make of all the changes the past week or so on the streaming front?
It's pretty fascinating. Thank you, John. Good to be with you again. It's pretty fascinating to me because just when it looked like Venue had sort of sidestepped one hurdle, one obstacle, bam, here comes DirecTV and Dish to say, no. You've got some more issues and we have them with you. But your point, I think, is important that it may come by, and I'll use this term, not literally, but by hook or by crook, but we're going to have these bundles pop up in one form or another. It seems like the powers that be have determined that this is the way forward now, not just ESPN's direct to consumer, but we have to create these pathways for people who just want to watch sports to watch for $30 or $40 or $50 a month or whatever that price amount is, whatever that amount is. But we have discovered that this is a way going forward. This is a path to make sure that sports fans get the sports that they want for the most part at some fraction of the cost compared to what they would pay for a full cable package.
But that's the thing. I mean, the DirecTV price, you know, yeah, $49.99 for now, but $69.99, $70, obviously, after 3 months, that's not that great of a savings. I mean, and you compare it to the new higher price of YouTube TV, yeah, you're saving maybe about $120 a year, $10 a month, but you're also getting far fewer channels. And what is the market for someone to pay nearly the entire full price of a streaming a streaming or cable subscription, but not get, say, any news networks? I mean, I personally love not having CNN, Fox, or MSNBC on my dial. But I think most people, if I'm going to pay $70 a month, I should be able to, if there's an emergency, have a 24-hour news channel to watch. Or if I want to watch a movie, I turn on TCM. All that bloat, it's real bloat. But if you're going to be paying basically the full price, you might as well get it too, right?
Well, there was this thing not too long ago that existed called cable. And you had everything in one place. This is my concern because, I mean, we're going to see this when ESPN goes direct to consumer with their flagship. There are so many of these ventures. This to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, John, this seems to be the first of more efforts to find ways to create paths for people who want to watch sports to watch sports at what you would think would be a lower price. But to your point, I don't see where the fans are really winning in all of this, because like you said, even if you start at $50 or $60, I mean, my goodness, YouTube TV not that long ago was $35 a month, and now it's more than twice that amount. And so where do fans win in all of this? It does not seem to be, I don't see a way where fans who want to watch sports are actually coming up on the positive end of these situations.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, let's be completely real. As you said, YouTube TV, when I first signed up for it in 2017, was $35 a month. And obviously coming from cable, that was miraculous, incredible, unbelievable, right? But now, I mean, it's still cheaper than cable, as I said last week, but, you know, $70, $80, $90, you know, this is no longer a bargain. It might be cheaper, but it's not a bargain. And I think we talk about all these different price points. It really is going to be important what they actually are. So what is the ESPN flagship going to be, right? You know, because realistically, if I'm going to be only getting the ESPN networks, I'd better be paying like $20 or $30, right? I mean, even $30, frankly, is too high. I mean, to me, the most that I would be willing to pay for only the ESPN networks, meaning I don't get nearly all of sports with it, it's probably around $25, you know? Now, look, you could do a la carte. All of this is, the dream that, you know, Senator John McCain and Senator Arlen Specter had all those years. They always wanted a la carte. Well, you can put something together, right? You get Max with the TNT add-on for $10. You get the ESPN flagship for $25. You know, Fox is putting the Super Bowl on Tubi. Maybe they put more things on Tubi, right? And that right now, anyway, is free. So you can kind of assemble, you know, a semi-affordable version of cable, decentralized. But you know, you get CBS games with Paramount Plus. You get NBC games with Peacock. But, you know, maybe $20 a month between combined across those two. Let's see. So $10 each for Paramount Plus and Peacock and Max with the, well, Max plus the add-on. So that's really like 20-something bucks. So you got about $40 there plus ESPN. You're getting close to $70 anyway.
I know there were rumors that the direct-to-consumer, ESPN's direct-to-consumer, would maybe be in that $25 to $30 range. Personally, to start, I think that's too high. I think you want to motivate and inspire these new people who just want ESPN as a product and everything that it offers. I think you want to find a way to make sure those people come in. It was what drew so many folks to YouTube TV. People were cutting the cord and they saw this project. They saw this product that was giving them a host of channels at a fraction of the cost. And so that's how you bring people in. And they've kept a lot of their customers, despite the fact that they have pretty much, well, not even pretty much, they've more than doubled their price now per month. So $25 to $30 for me, I still think is a bit high if those rumors are true, but we'll see when ESPN Direct to Consumer comes out in the fall.
Well, they've kept their customers because they are the best streaming service, you know. And I'm not looking to lavish praise on Google. I don't think any website owner wants to do that in 2025. But, you know, they are the best streaming service. They're the best one. And so it helps kind of make the price. Like for now, I've been paying the $70-something dollars a month lately. You know, I always intended to go to Sling and save a little bit of money. But, you know, you're already there. And it's better than Sling, has more channels than Sling, and is more reliable than Sling. So you just stay with it. Obviously, the increased price is a splash of cold water that makes you go somewhere else. The irony, of course, is that I always intended to just go to Venue. You know, my subscription ends on the 20th, and I thought, oh, well, great. Venue might be around by then, and I can just get a little, you know, save a little money. Well, not to be. You know, I really don't know what to make of what the future is, too, because we talked about this last week. It's going to take a while before, you know, we reach a point where this stuff can just be as normal and natural as turning on ABC or NBC or Fox.
I don't know, like you said, I don't know if we ever get to a point where there's sort of a total comfort with where we're going. And I keep going back to this. Sports fans do not want to have to work that hard to find what they want, which is why the Venue option made a lot of sense, because you were getting multiple sports, multiple rights in one place. And so if you can get that and you can minimize fans having to go on these searches and these treasure hunts to go find their content, it's to everyone's benefit. The problem is the lawsuits came as a result of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also the case that a lot of sports viewing is done by people who just have the game on and they don't care that deeply. That's one of the things that no one seems to understand. You know, we talk about sports viewership and every single viewer is like making an affirmative decision. I am watching this as an endorsement of the NBA. And no, that's not the way it works at all. Most people are tuning in because it's on, right? You turn on a game, it's on. There's a reason why every week after the NFL, some event that people would never ordinarily watch gets 2 million viewers. It's not because people were watching the NFL, saw sailing come on and said, I want to watch this sailing GP race. It's because they're very passive. They might have left the room. If we knew how much sports viewing was done by people who left the room or fell asleep, it might change our whole orientation to this business.
That's such a great point. And while you were saying that, I was thinking about how much ESPN, and not to call them out, but how much ESPN loves to brag about that post-event Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt rating. Oh, we got 3.7 million viewers after the wildcard playoff game. Do you really think 3.7 million people were watching Sports Center at 11:45 p.m. Eastern time? Absolutely not. It's on. And I think that element, to your point, we're going to agree here again. It's on. Where is it? Is it on something I can find? I want it as background noise. I want it while I'm cooking. I want it while I'm taking a nap. I just want it on. And I feel for the sports fans who just want sports. They just want something to be on, because the products are not being tailored to those kinds of fans. You actually have to go on a search, and now you're going to see if fans are willing to actually do that.
Yeah, that's a big question. One of the great advantages, obviously, of streaming is that a lot of these services are not Nielsen rated. You know, there's scores of hockey games on ESPN Plus every week. We'll never know. You know, ESPN is sending Bob Wischusen and PK Subban all over the country to call a game. Who honestly knows? We'll never know who's watching those National Hockey League games on ESPN Plus. And that's a good thing for streaming, right? If I'm the NBA, I don't think I want the Peacock games measured next year. And what a liberating thing it is, because the Nielsen ratings have become, and you know, I suppose I bear some responsibility for this, but they've become this all-encompassing, you know, every single tick of the Nielsen, you know, measurement is an indictment on your sport. And so having fewer games that are rated is an advantage, I think. And, you know, the fact is, I don't suspect a lot of people are going to be tuning into the NBA on Peacock or the NHL on ESPN Plus. We know that by NFL standards, hardly anybody watched the NFL on ESPN Plus, which is kind of odd, right? To go on a digression really quickly, it's odd that ESPN Plus, even though they were it was a split doubleheader, there were other games on ABC and ESPN, but under 2 million when Netflix and Prime and Peacock are getting, you know, tens of millions, that's odd. I'm not sure how that even happened, but the more niche a service is, a sports-specific service like ESPN Plus is probably at an even greater disadvantage than Prime and Peacock and Netflix, because so much sports viewing is done by people stumbling across the event. You can stumble across sports on Prime when you're looking for something else, or on Netflix when you're looking for something else. But if you're watching ESPN Plus, it's because you want to watch cricket or Illinois State gymnastics or water polo or Menlo men's volleyball. Like, you are really into niche sports. And that, to me, puts it at a real disadvantage compared to even the other streamers.
John, the reality is, John, that sometimes I just want sports. CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, the names, the big names, the brand names. I just want sports. And so sports fans are not this complicated. We can be very, very simple. Is it on? I'll watch it. I may not even watch all of it. I may only watch the first half, but it's on. So I'll watch it. I'll watch it either intently or passively. May not be all that interested. I only like one or two teams anyway. Illinois, Michigan State college basketball game doesn't really intrigue me. But you know what? It's on. I don't know any of the players. I don't know the announcers. I don't know the sideline reporter. I don't know the studio crew. But I know it's on. It's a sport and it's entertaining. And a lot of sports fans want that. And I don't think that's being given enough credit. Sports fans can be very lazy. And sometimes we just want sports, no matter which one it is.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. By the way, it's New Paltz versus Menlo in men's volleyball tonight, but it's on Big Ten Plus, not ESPN Plus, right? So, I mean, look, sports, obviously, if you're a sports fan, there's a lot fewer sports fans than people think, right? There's a lot fewer people who want to watch all the sports and care about all the sports and are people who watch ESPN and FS1 and know who any of these people are. The money that's flowing in this industry is very much separate from the level of actual genuine interest. All of those NFL numbers that we see every week, even a lot of those viewers are people who maybe just out of habit, out of tradition, out of community, but they don't really care, right? I mean, I'd be curious, right? We talk so much about Al Michaels and we talk about, you know, Romo and Nance and Brady. I mean, most of the time, most of the people watching out of the 20, 30, 40 million people tuning in, they don't know who's calling the game, right? So that's one of the things that we need to understand. The people who really care about sports, the people who are deciding to watch less of the NBA this year or maybe haven't watched any games after watching games, it's not because they care about the quality of the game. They're just not there. They're not watching linear TV. So they're not around to stumble across the NBA. Most of the people watching NBA games couldn't tell you what a travel is. they couldn't tell you about the a mid-range jump shot and the necessity to diversify offenses. They're just watching because it's on.
You're so right. And it's something we sports fans do forget. We forget that just because we care doesn't mean everybody else does. There are so many other things to do, so many other things to watch. People have families, people have work schedules, people have real life things that are going on. And in the middle of all of that, it might be a little bit difficult to go run to FS2 to watch Oregon State and Michigan volleyball. Might not happen. And sometimes we forget that other things in life are going on.
Yeah, exactly. And on that note, let's talk a little bit about those ratings and all the many viewers who...
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At an enterprise level, nothing is more important than communication. Grammarly for Enterprise enables your team to work smarter and faster. Other AI tools can't quantify business impact, but Grammarly gives you actionable insights and measurable results with features like their effective communication score, which tracks key metrics so you can make data-driven decisions to improve outcomes. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise.
Make the NFL numbers look so spectacular. And interestingly enough, for Wild Card Weekend, it was mostly down. The two CBS windows were up. I mean, one of them was basically a wash, 31.1 million last year, 31.2 million this year. And last year's game was postponed a day to Martin Luther King Day. So, you know, that's not the most important comparison. The other game that they did was CBS and Nickelodeon for Chargers Texans. That was up from the Nielsen measured audience for NBC's Browns Texans last year. Although if you add in Adobe Analytics, NBC's game was higher. again, these are all things that, you know, I don't even know how meaningful they are outside of this niche, but, you know, you want to provide that context. All the other games, the four other games were all down. Monday Night Football, Vikings-Rams was down double digits. I don't know what the LA market situation was there. ESPN didn't mention it. So, you know, I assume it wasn't that big of an impact. ESPN didn't mention it at all in their release. Fox was down double digits. A great number, realistically, 36 million. But last year was the Cowboys. And last year was over 40 million. So down double digits. And then NBC on Sunday night, down 19%. With Adobe included or without Adobe included for the Commanders and Buccaneers. And I don't think it's going to get better this weekend because you got to remember the big game this weekend, Titanic matchup of Baltimore and Buffalo. That's going to do a great number and it's not going to come close to Kansas City Buffalo last year, right? It's just, it's not going to be able to. That's such a high bar. And then you look at Washington, Detroit, two really interesting teams. Great stories. And yeah, that's going to be down probably pretty significantly because last year was Green Bay, San Francisco, and you are not matching Packers 49ers. So that's the two windows right off that you look at and have the most interest in. Those are almost guaranteed locks to decline. So the other two windows, Rams, Eagles, you know, the Rams have a sympathetic story, but they've never been that interesting to people, right? Not in St. Louis and not in LA. The Eagles are certainly a big market team, just like the Rams. I don't know if that'll be enough to carry this matchup. NBC did have Tampa Bay, Detroit last year, not exactly a traditional matchup either. But I tend to think that I'm not sure that's going to be up, that Rams, Eagles. And then the one window I do think will be up, Kansas City, Houston. Last year, I think it was Houston, Baltimore. So just trading Baltimore for Kansas City, ESPN did get a nice bump out of that. But again, wild card weekend was down. Divisional round weekend will be mostly down. The NFL is, you know, your ratings aren't going to go up exponentially forever, right? I mean, that's just not a logical thing to expect.
And the teams that you look for, the teams that you always want in these situations, they're not there. No New York representation, Giants, Jets. You've got no San Francisco, no Green Bay like we had last year. I mean, an historic matchup between two well-known franchises, which have been just pillars in the NFL for decades. You don't have those teams. You don't have Dallas. And so, yeah, I do expect to see the ratings continue to take a bit of a hit. You've got some compelling stories, but outside of Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City, you don't have that power-packed team or player. You don't have that same sort of appeal, and I think that's going to be reflected in the ratings. I'll ask you this, John, to look ahead a little bit. If you're the NFL, or specifically CBS and Fox, what conference championship games would you want to get the max number?
Well, I think you want Detroit, Philadelphia in the NFC, and obviously Kansas City, Buffalo in the AFC. Those are the two that you want. I mean, obviously, KC Buffalo is the biggest rivalry now in the NFL, and I think that would be a blockbuster number, certainly in that 6:30 time slot. That would do great. I think, you know, obviously Detroit and Philadelphia, it's not necessarily a matchup you would have picked at the start of the season, but I think it's a good matchup. Obviously, big market team in Philadelphia and Detroit with all of the sentiment behind them. So if you end up with, you know, Kansas City, Baltimore, you'll be fine. If you end up with Washington, Philadelphia, I think you'll be fine if you're Fox. I mean, that would be such a tremendous upset. And Washington, with all of the energy behind them, it would be pretty exciting too. But those are the top two.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The NFC has no villains. With no Dallas being around, you don't have a villain. You don't have anybody. I mean, you've got a lot of nice teams. Nice teams don't necessarily lead to huge ratings. You need that story. You need that dynasty like Kansas City. You need that that appeal that Kansas City brings, or Buffalo, the Allen Mahomes rivalry, which has been so just sort of beautifully marketed by people like Tony Romo and by the NFL, who have sort of dubbed it the next Brady Manning. The AFC has all of that momentum, and the NFC is just lacking that right now, especially with the absence of the Dallas Cowboys.
No doubt about that. And I mean, the AFC has always been that secondary package, right? Because it's not really the NFL. It's the AFL, right? It's that other league that they took on. And they never had the same markets. They never had the star power, but it's almost completely flipped. And I know Detroit is a great story and Washington's a great story. But as you said, those villains, they're not there. The Cowboys are hapless villains, but even hapless villains can be entertaining. You want to see them around. And there's nobody left in the NFC playoffs that anyone would take pleasure in seeing lose. And that is a crucial component of the people who are actually tuning in because they care about the game. That is a crucial aspect. People wanted to see LeBron lose. They really wanted to see it when he was in Miami. And that's why the ratings were so good. You don't have the heroes. You don't have the villains. The NFC just has some nice stories, some sympathetic stories, the civic pride story, but they're lacking in the other ways. All right, let's wrap up here. TGL, second episode, Tiger Woods debut, 1 million viewers, so up 9% from the debut. Not that big of a jump, to be completely honest. I think a lot of people would have expected a more substantial jump week over week than that, but it was also in an earlier window. Now, earlier window, without a lead-in from live sports, that does kind of put you behind the eight ball a little bit. Viewership held at 1 million for 90 minutes, according to ESPN, but only peaked at 1.1 million. So this was a very consistent audience across the board. It's a nice number. The reality is, you can go back to Sunday, the Super Copa between Real Madrid and Barcelona had more viewers than I think most people don't know that was on. And it was opposite the NFL. So it's a good number relative to expectations, at least mine. I didn't think TGL was going to be a hit or anything like that. But obviously not a massive number.
Yeah. Where do you see sort of TGL as a television product? Do you see it maxing out at a specific spot, specific range, John?
Yeah, where it is now. Honestly, I think it's going to max out around here. I'm reminded of the racing league. I don't even remember the name of it, that aired on CBS for about a year and then moved to ESPN. And at a certain point, you know, if you're in that million viewer range, that's great. But eventually you're going to lose some of the novelty. And it was the SRX, the Superstar Racing Experience, right? That's kind of what I get the sense of with this. Same thing to an extent with Unrivaled. I actually think Unrivaled has a better shot at longevity because it's filling a real need. Tiger, Rory, they don't need extra opportunities. The WNBA players, so that they don't have to go to dangerous countries that will try to imprison them, certainly need off-season opportunities. If the big three can still be on, I would expect Unrivaled to have a real shot. But a lot of these kinds of ventures need a real reason to exist. The basketball tournament, for instance, obviously all those alums, they need the money, right? I mean, in a lot of cases, it's a great opportunity for them. They don't have other chances in pro basketball, certainly. It's filling a need. TGL isn't filling a need, and I think eventually people will tire of it.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. It's just kind of there. I mean, you've got some names, and I mean, marquee names, as a matter of fact. But what is it doing that's different, either different from other leagues or other properties, or is it filling a need? And to your point, I just don't think that it is. It is interesting to me that wasn't it up from some college basketball games from last year?
Considerably, yeah.
But yeah, even I don't know how much that says. College basketball regular season numbers are not very impressive, especially until March, right? I mean, there's really not a whole lot of interest from a rating standpoint unless it's the occasional Duke North Carolina game. So I don't know how much that really says about, I guess, the quote unquote success from a rating standpoint. But yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think the sort of number that we saw there, that 900 to 1 million range, I think that's probably what we would expect from TGL going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's not really golf. You know, they're hitting into a computer simulation. It just reminded me of Microsoft Golf, if you remember that game. And all I could hear is the computer voice saying it's in the rough, right? And to me, that's going to be a tough sell for a lot of folks, even though it's doing well so far. It's doing well so far. Seven figures, basically, anyway, for 2 weeks.
It reminds me a little bit of the XFL, not quite in the same area, not quite in the same way, but it's football, but it's not, you know, it's in the wrong part of the year. And we're watching football in April and it just doesn't quite feel right, but it's kind of football. So maybe I'll watch it and it's on ABC. And so TGL reminds me a little bit of that, but I think the numbers there proved that the XFL had an audience that was only going to go past a certain point as well.
Well, between, you know, I mean, you're going to have a lot of these that go by the wayside. I was just thinking about Slam Ball that came back a couple of years ago. Obviously, like I said, SRX, you know, there's all these various little ventures, certainly in spring football, all the various efforts. If TGL is a long-term thing, that would be honestly kind of miraculous to me. I just can't see this being around in 5 or 10 years. For now, it's a fun little distraction, gets a little bit of viewership going. Serena certainly seemed bored at the event yesterday. Serena Williams, who was there for some reason, but yeah, we'll see. A lot of new ventures, though, in sports, and there's a lot more opportunities, too. That's another story for another day, and that's another podcast in the books. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more stuff next week.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Taxes was waiting around for your taxes to be done, which led to worrying about not getting any money back. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes in a day to get you up to $4,000 fast with a refund advance loan. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Expert filing only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Refund advance has $0 loan fees and 0% APR. Refund advance loans may be issued by First Century Bank, N.A. or Web Bank. Terms apply. Subject to approval.